Thank you. You may be seated.
Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. While you're turning there, I'm going to make just a couple of announcements. You have a bulletin. Read it. I don't know if they were on the wall earlier. I doubt it, but just get a bulletin and read it. The two announcements that I want to make while you're turning to Joshua 3 is my wife is trying to put a cookbook together like a fundraiser for a missions trip that we'd like to do here at the church. So this is in relation to that. You ladies are aware of this. You got a letter in your mailbox a while ago. Please give us your recipes. We need a minimum of 30 individuals to give recipes to get one book published. You do not need to donate funds or any money or purchase a cookbook to add a recipe. But please see Chris Carpenter for questions that you may have on that. So we need 30 different individuals. I assume it'll be mostly ladies that have recipes. I don't have a recipe for anything. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You put the peanut butter on one side of and you put the jelly on the other bread. You cannot, no really, they taste different if you put them on the same piece. Don't take your head at me. Yes, they do. What, Jim? I could throw that teriyaki venison in there. That is very good. Anything with venison is pretty good in my opinion. The second thing I wanted to tell you with is I had an awesome day at the fair yesterday. I worked the booth 12 hours. I worked it from 10 in the morning to 10 last night. I led like 8 or 9 people to the Lord. I was witnessing to people nonstop. It was the best day that I've ever had at the fair in my life. I think it was cooler, and the people weren't miserable. Last year, Chris and I went to, man, the people were miserable and mean. But it was like 90 degrees and all that. But it was just a good day. But it was a blessing. We had one family come by. Mike was witnessing to him. Mike helped in the morning, and then Andrew came by in the evening and helped some. But I had the afternoon by myself, and praise God, Melissa was there because I had to have a bathroom break. And I didn't want to leave the booth empty, so she came by, and I said, you stay right here, and I'll be right back. Twice that happened. But Mike and Mel come by. So it was a blessing. But, you know, we had a Muslim family come by, and you'd never know they were Muslim. We started talking to them, and Mike was talking to them, and they dress just like you and I do. But they go to the mosque every single week. And, you know, they are really infiltrating this country. It's kind of scary. But there was something else that I had never had happen to me before, and you might want to be aware of this. In fact, I may teach on this. At least 6 different individuals told me when I asked them about being born again, 6 of them relate that to reincarnation. I had never heard that, and I'm not sure where that teaching started, but these 6 people probably didn't even know each other. And you know, when you're at the fair, you're getting people from all over the state. But they are, when you mention born again, if you're familiar with this concept at all, 6 different people said, isn't that reincarnation? So that's something that you'll want to be aware of when you talk to people and witness to people. I'd never heard that before. If I did, I don't remember it, so it certainly had not heard it very often. But that was really something, and we got to encourage some Christians. There was a Seventh-day Adventist family that had lost a son before he was baptized, and they said he was dedicated to God, and they were all worried that he wasn't in heaven and that he was in hell because he hadn't followed the Lord in baptism. And I took quite a bit of time with them to explain to them that baptism has nothing to do with the salvation. I think they finally got it after a while, but when they had born again associated with baptism. Boy, there's a lot of messed up people out there doctrinally, you know what? But so it was a blessing. And we have one more day. It is the 28th. I think that's this Thursday. We have a few people signed up, but if you want to sign up and take an afternoon shift to work the fair, you're welcome to do that. I had such a good time. I'm thinking about going back and working 10 to 10 again this Thursday. Yeah, it's a long day, but man, I had a good time. And just witnessing the people, it was tremendous. Thank you for your prayers, for those of you that prayed about it. And we are grateful. Stand with me. Now, I'm going to read just the first 13 verses together of Joshua 3 and 4. I may actually ask the Georges to come back and sing one more song. This sermon has a place where it allows me to stop. If I get there and there's much time left, I'll have you sing one. But I don't know that I'll even get that far. I can tell you right now I'm not going to finish this sermon this morning. But let's read the first 13 verses of Joshua chapter 3. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for the tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. We just normally refer to those as all the Ite brothers right there, is okay? Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all of the earth passes over before you into Jordan.
Now therefore,
and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, they shall stand upon a heap. Well, Father, as we look at the Word of God this morning, I pray that you would add your blessings to it. Grow us, mature us, challenge us, and strengthen us. If there be a lost sinner that needs to be saved, convert that sinner today, and we'll thank you for all that you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I think we're going to end up making our way through the book of Joshua, quite honestly. I had not planned that, but the Lord has seemed to have me going in that direction because I think our faith needs to increase, and this is a book about faith. Last week, we looked at Rahab. We looked at the faith of Rahab. And now, the book of Joshua will turn, and it will be dealing with the faith of the nation of Israel. Now, this book is not just history, although it is history. The book of Joshua is about your life. The book of Joshua is about the life of our church. And it's about the faith. What God wants to do with me. What God wants to do with you. What God wants to do right here, right now, with us in our community. It is a book about the victory of faith and the glory that comes to God when His people, as we just sang a moment ago, trust and obey. As we live by faith and as we trust and obey, we conquer by faith. So it's a book about the victory of faith and the glory that comes to God when His people live like that. In your Christian life, you will either be an overcomer or you will be overcome. You will either be a victor or you will be a victim, one or the other. Now, God saved us to make soldiers out of us. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, just back a few pages. And move us forward by faith to claim our rich inheritance in Christ. And we've talked quite a bit about that. And I want you to notice something that Moses told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23. He said, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. He brought us out that he might bring us in. Now listen, there is more than being delivered from bondage. There is more to the Christian life than being delivered from your sin. He brought us out of Egypt. He brought us out of the world. He brought us out of the sinful lifestyle that he might bring us in to enjoy the rich inheritance that we have in Christ. So he brought us out that he might bring us in. Salvation is only the beginning. Both in our personal lives and in our service for the Lord, there remains, as Joshua said in Joshua 13:1, much land yet to be possessed. So the theme of this book is, let's go on. And the only way that I can go on is by faith. And the only way that you can go on is by faith.
You have got to grow, or you've got to allow God to grow your faith. Faith says, let's go forward to where God is doing something. Let's move forward. 40 years earlier than from this time, Joshua and Caleb said, as they stood at Kadesh Barnea, let's go. We can conquer the land. That's faith. The people said, we're not able to conquer the land. That's doubt. That's unbelief. And you know what? It cost them. And as God is leading you to do something by faith, and for whatever reason you say, I don't really think I want to do that because of your unbelief or because of your doubt or because of who knows what, you know that's going to cost you. That will cost you more than you will ever really realize. The people said, we're not able. 1 John 5:4 says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. It's our faith. We've got to have strong faith. Now, all the great men of God, they all had one thing in common. They were different personalities. They had different ministries. They did different things. They accomplished different things for God. But you know what the one thing they had in common? They all believed God's promises, and they did what God told them to do. Now, God has not changed, and the principles of faith have not changed, because His promises never fail. But we can fail. God's promises don't fail, but I can fail. You can fail. Just because the promises are there, that doesn't necessarily make me, guarantee me, that I'm going to live a victorious life all the time. Because we can fail to live by the grace of God and not enter into all that He has promised for us. And so Joshua chapter 3 and chapter 4 illustrate three essential things for moving ahead by faith and claiming what God has for us. The first one is what you read about in Joshua 3 verses 1 through 13. And the first essential is this, the word of faith. The Bible's called that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, I think. As the nation waited at the Jordan River, you ever wonder what was going to happen? There is about 1 million people ready to cross over this river. The river is at flood stage. Normally, when I was in Israel and they showed us the mighty Jordan River, I wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed. I know where we happen to be, and they don't know for sure exactly where Jesus was baptized or where John the Baptist was baptizing. They kind of take a guess, an educated guess, but they don't really know. But I don't think it was any wider than this auditorium where we stood at the Jordan River. And I thought, well, I could swim across this if I had to. But when Joshua stood there with 1 million Jews or so, it's flood stage. I mean, the water is really up there. And that's where they are. So what's going to happen? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says what? Faith cometh by hearing, the hearing by the word of God. So what you have here is you're going to get Joshua, and he's going to get his orders from God, the word of God, and he's going to obey them by faith. Faith is obeying God in spite of the consequences. So they're going to step up there. All who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, every single one of them did something because they believed God. It wasn't a feeling. It was an act of force. James 2:26 says, for is the body without the spirit of dead, so faith without works is dead also. So this faith, good godly strong faith, produces good works and good activity in us. Remember when God called Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees? And he went out not knowing where he was going? Abraham believed God, and he left Ur, and he headed for Canaan. Moses believed God. He defied the gods of Egypt, and he led Israel to freedom. Gideon believed God. He took a small band of Jews, and he defeated the huge army of the Midianites. Now, in this section that you guys read this morning, there are five different messages that are all based on the Word of God, which is the Word of faith. The people obeyed by faith, and God led them across the river. The first message is in verses 1 through 4, and to save time, I won't read it, but you ought to glance down through there and read it one more time. But that was the message of the officers to the people. Now notice the end of verse 2, that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, so the officers had a message to the people. If you'll notice in verse 1 there, it says that Joshua got up early. Now, it is not a sin to get up early. Some of you don't realize the sun rises. Some of you, actually in New York, I don't even know that it rises very much here lately. But anyway, I looked at the sky this morning and I wasn't even recognizing the color, blue. I haven't seen much of that. But anyway, the sun just, you think some of you, when I wake up, the sun's there it is. No. If you get up in the morning, you'll watch it come up a little at a time, and it's usually over in this area some way or this way, and it rises up nice and easy. It's not wrong to get up early. In fact, you'd be surprised when you get up early how much more you can actually get done. Why did Joshua and all the people that we read about in the Bible that I'll mention here, like Moses and David and Hezekiah and even the Lord Jesus, why do people like that rise up early in the morning? So they can spend a little bit of time with God. Now, let me say this. You cannot live by faith and ignore the Word of God. You cannot live by faith and ignore the Bible. You can't live by faith and ignore preaching. You can't live by faith and ignore teaching. You cannot live by faith and ignore the Word of God and prayer. Faith is nurtured by worship, and faith is nurtured by the Word of God. The people that God uses and blesses know how to discipline themselves so they can give themselves to the Lord. And part of that discipline is knowing how to find time throughout the day somewhere to spend time in the Word of God. All great people of God have that in common as well. Now, Joshua had the people move 10 miles from Shittim to the Jordan River. It probably took a day. They rested the next day, and on the third day, they got their orders. Now, they were going to cross following the Ark of the Covenant. Now, because I know, Tony, do you have those pictures? We didn't practice, whoever you are, Andy, Steve, I don't even know who you guys are anymore, but let's just put those pictures up on the wall, will you? All right, now, we got these out of order, Tony, but would you flip, well, let's stop right there for a minute. I'll just go through them. I don't want that one. I don't want that one. I don't want that labor. Nope. Yes. That is, so why is it going to take a full day to go 10 miles? Well, that's the camp of Israel. That's my writing around the outside of it, my printing, don't worry about that. That was a college project that I had to do when I was in college. So I had to turn, and it's out of this book, it's on the tabernacle, and I had to turn that in. So that's what that is. But anyway, that is the tabernacle. There's about 1 million people camped around that. And I'll explain some of those things, but you'll see, I don't know if you can read it from back there, there's a little smoke just as you go in the gate on the east side. That's the brazen altar. Behind that is the laver, and behind that is the sanctuary. I love that song before I sang this morning, by the way. But anyway, that's the tent. So now, the tabernacle. Now, these people are going to take a full day to go 10 miles. You know why? They got to pack all that up. There are 4 curtains laid over the top of the tabernacle. All different colors, all represent something about God. But so this is not like a simple little task. So they've got to move. Go backwards, Stone. Go backwards some more. Okay. Inside the curtain area that you saw is the sanctuary, and underneath those curtains is this is the holy place. Now, I don't have my pointer. Bummer. But anyway, if you can see a rod in the middle, about halfway back, remember when Jesus died on the cross and it said the veil of the temple was rent in twain? Okay, that is exactly where, right there, that is exactly where the veil was. And that veil was rent in twain. Behind that curtain would have been the Holy of the Holies. That's the most holy place. The high priest would go in there once a year and only on the Day of Atonement. And go ahead and turn the picture. Find that one with a different furniture in it. Keep going. Didn't I give you one with all of it? Keep going again. Okay. Now, that's not a very good picture. But over to the right is the table of showbread that is in the Holy of Holies. In the middle of it, it says golden altar. That is the Ark and the Covenant, Aaron's rod that budded and all that stuff is over on there. But right there, that thing in the middle is the Ark of the Covenant that the priests are going to carry as they head into the Jordan River. It had the mercy seat on it. On the top of it, we'll have a little bit better. And the left is the candlestick. Now, that there is what they're going to carry. That is made out of pure gold. And there was a passage in Scripture. Maybe I'll get to that in Sunday school and the principles that we're dealing with. But when they carried that, God told them exactly how to carry that thing, and then they messed up one time, and God killed them. Some of you might remember that story, because God takes sin very, very seriously. And I'll be honest, what they did, some of you would have said, I would have done the same thing. But they broke the commandment of God, and God smote them. Anyway, that is what the priests are going to be carrying. It's called the Ark of the Testimony and the Mercy Seat, the Ark of the Covenant. Sometimes it's just called the Ark. But that is the piece of furniture that when you read there in Joshua chapter 3 that's inside the Holy of Holies, that they are watching the priests, and as they're going to get up and they're going to move it. Go ahead and turn a few more things. I'll explain a little bit more. That laver is, so you walk in and you had the brazen altar and then you had the sanctuary back here. That laver sits right here. The laver is the place where the priest washed his hands and feet. Just so, because some of you are new Christians. Go ahead, Tom. And or Steve or Andy. Roll to another picture. You got another picture up there? That's it? Okay. Thank you. So that is the idea of what you see happening now when Joshua and the people are getting ready to move. On that ark is the law of God. It was kept in the Ark of the Covenant. It was a reminder of God's covenant with Israel, and the blood sacrifice was sprinkled on that mercy seat every once a year on the annual Day of Atonement. The ark going before the people meant that God was going before them and that God was opening the way. When the leaders of the tribe saw the people, the priests bearing the ark and moving toward the river, they would get the people ready. The people had never traveled this way before. They'd never been on that side of the Jordan River. So this is an area that they had never traveled before. Now understand this. And your walk with God, you're going to travel places that you've never traveled before. You're going to do things that you've never done before. Young man met me at the fair late yesterday afternoon, and he was going to work the soul winning booth at the fair for the very first time. And I could tell he was very intimidated and very nervous. And as I sat there, I said, it's intimidating, isn't it? Yeah, it is intimidating. I said so, and I walked him through how I did it. And he wasn't there long, and I had the privilege to lead these two young ladies to Christ. So that got him fired up. And so then he was trying it, and I gave him some more instructions on what to do. But I will tell you something. Yeah, the first time you do things like that, it is a little bit nervous. And it can be a little bit intimidating. And you have never walked that way before. But you know why you do it? Because God tells you to do it. It's called walking by faith, living by faith. And these people, they'd never done that before. They'd never crossed the Jordan River before. They needed God to guide them. But they couldn't get too close to the ark because it was a very holy piece of furniture. And you do not treat the ark carelessly. So you read where there was a large gap between them. God is our companion through life. But let me remind you something. You don't treat God like a buddy. You don't call him the man upstairs. That's not who God is. He is sovereign. He is holy. He is judge. He is righteous. He is perfect. He is pure. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you don't refer to him as your buddy or the man upstairs. That's very disrespectful to God. And so the people stayed back from the ark. The second message is in verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, Joshua had a message. Now, this is both an order and a promise. The fulfillment of the promise depended on their obedience. There are a lot of promises in the Word of God that depend upon my obedience and your obedience. Sanctify, he said there, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The word sanctify means bathe or change. Now the image symbolizes a new beginning with the Lord. So the people are getting ready to cross over the Jordan River. They've never gone that way before, and it's going to symbolize a new beginning. Since sin is pictured as judgment in Psalm 51, 2 and 7, God has to cleanse us before we can truly follow Him. No lost person can truly follow God, or no lost person can truly worship God until God cleanses them of their sin. You have to be cleansed. And God does that when we are saved. Okay, so it symbolizes a new beginning with the Lord. Since sin is pictured as defilement, God has to cleanse that for us. Now, in the New Testament, the image of changing your clothes is used in 2 Corinthians 6, Ephesians chapter 4, and where we have been studying on Sunday nights in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul says and uses the imagery, you put off and you put on. And you also remember when Jesus left, when they went back to the tomb, the grave clothes were still in the tomb. Jesus left the grave clothes behind, man. He didn't have any more need for those grave clothes. He's risen and he's alive. And we put the old life behind because we have no more need for that. Why in the world the children of Israel kept wanting to go back to Egypt, I have no idea. But they did. And you know what? Some people do the same thing today. The promise was that God would do wonders among them. He will open the river. And that's just the beginning. Salvation is just the beginning. Now you are to live a life by faith. And now you are to walk with the Lord. There was a third message. Joshua had a message for the priest in verse 6. Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and they went before the people. Now both Moses and Joshua had received their authority from the Lord before these miracles occurred. If you desire one day to be in the ministry, be sure that it is God who has called you. Or you will be one miserable person. You want to make sure you are called of God. And so Joshua and Moses, they had both got their orders from the Lord. Joshua told the priest what to do. And then fifthly, there is a message in verses 9 through 13. Joshua's message to the people, and I do want to read that. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. Now, what I want you to notice when I read this begins in that phrase. Know that the living God is among you. Joshua wants to magnify the Lord. Joshua doesn't want to magnify himself. And that he, that is God, will without fail drive out before you. And he lists all the Ite brothers there. And then he said, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all of the earth passes over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, one out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles at the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of the all the earth, and again he just keeps talking about the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, almost like he dammed up the river, and they shall stand upon a heap. Now, what's Joshua do? He magnifies the Lord. He doesn't magnify himself. His gracious blessings to the nation of Israel, Joshua reminds the people of that. Some people, when they give a testimony, they talk more about themselves than they do about the Lord. That's why sometimes I don't like to take testimonies in church. I just as soon hear about God as to hear about you, and no offense. We are to magnify God. We are to magnify the Lord. I even hear sometimes when I go to pastors' conferences and preach, I hear, I do this and I do that and I do the other thing, but we're not really all that much interested in what everything that is that you do. We are interested in what thus saith the Lord. That's what we're interested in. Your focus is to be on the Lord. And your focus is to be on His greatness. Joshua did not give the people a religious pep talk. He simply reminded them of the promises of God, the word of faith, and encouraged them to trust and obey. Joshua's God was more than the God of Israel. Verse 10 said he was the living God. Do you know what makes Christianity? Somebody was telling me yesterday at the fair they're getting ready to study Buddhism for whatever reason. And you were a Buddhist. And they want to study all this stuff. Do you know the difference between our God and Buddha? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. They don't. He isn't. He's still in the grave. We serve a risen Savior. Our God is alive. Their gods are dead. That's a major difference. And Joshua said he is the Lord of all of the earth. And because he is the living God, God can defeat anything. He can win. He can do as he pleases. Psalms 97 and verse 5 says, the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Joshua told the people that God will open the waters when the feet of the priests go in. He ordered each tribe to appoint a man to perform a special task That will be explained in chapter 4. God was going before his people, and he will open the way for his people. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you believe that God can go before you and open the way for you? Or, how about this? Let's pretend you're Abraham, and God says, I want you to move. Okay, God, where do you want me to go? Don't worry about that. Just back up and start going. Would you get a warm and fuzzy about that? I don't think I would. You know what Abraham did? He did it. I don't even have a camper to put behind my truck to find a place to hide in, right? I do have a tent, though. But that's what God told him. Now, what would you do there? You say, God's going to go before me. I agree 100%. Do you have enough faith in God that God will lead you as he goes before you and that he will open the way? Now, he ain't going to do and that's not proper English. He won't do the wonder and open the Jordan River like he did for Israel twice. Not the Jordan River, but water twice. Now, as you look at these five messages, what do you see? You see that God gave them all the information they needed to accomplish what he wanted them to do. God doesn't need to tell you everything. You don't need to know everything. But God will tell you everything you need to know to accomplish what he wants you to do. Where he calls, he provides. He provided for them, he'll provide for you. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Secondly, you find the conditions that the people had to fulfill. There are conditional promises in the Word of God. You find orders that they had to obey. You have to obey. And you find promises that they have to believe. God said, I will go before you. This generation had not seen the Red Sea opened up. And they've never seen the Jordan River. They'd all died. They saw that, except two. They'd never see the Jordan River. Well, the under 20 hadn't seen it. God gives his word of faith to his people whenever he asks them to follow him into new areas in conflict and conquest. Thirdly, you see this. God's commandments are his enablement. If God calls you to do something and commands you to do something, whatever it is, God will enable you to do it. You say, well, God called me to do something. I just don't think I could do it. He'll enable you to do it. Let me back up on that. You are 100% right. You can't do it. But God can do it. And you can be the tool that God does whatever it is through you. So I don't know about that, preacher. You're limiting God. You're putting God in a box. He's still the God of the universe. He can still do whatever he chooses to please. And his commandments are his enablements. Fourthly, his promises do not fail. You have to believe that by faith. Sometimes people go, how come this, how come that, how come the other thing? I don't have all the answers to all of that stuff. I just believe the promises of God do not fail. King Jehoshaphat, years after this had happened, said in 2 Chronicles 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. 1 Kings 8:56 says, blessed be the Lord that hath given us rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The first essential is this, the word of faith. Trust the word. Believe the word. I have a saying that when I disciple people, it's the first or second lesson too. Some of you will know it. The Bible is my what? None of you know it. I'm sad. I'm heartbroken. The Bible is my... Thank you. I knew you knew it. I was ready to cry almost. The Bible is my authority. This is the Word of God. This is what we base our life on. This is what we base our faith on. You have to trust the Word. You have to believe the Word. This is the Word of God. You have to make much of the Word of God. You don't make much of a man. You don't make much of a church. You make much of the Bible. Although we ought to love God's men and women, and we ought to love the church. But the church's authority... I got into a little conversation with more than one people yesterday about authority. Some of them, their authority is the church. You can figure that out. But our authority is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Now, let me ask you this. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. You do have time to sing one song, so pick one out. You got a couple minutes. Please. You read your Bible every day? You spend time in your Bible every day? You spend time in prayer every day? You enjoy being entertained like most people do most of the time? Or would you rather spend time serving God, living by faith, walking by faith, doing what God wants you to do? When God calls you, God enables you. Where is your faith? On a scale of 1 to 10, don't say it out loud. Don't give me a number with your fingers in the air. In your own heart, scale of 1 to 10, what's your faith level? You'll say, well, I've asked God to do some things. He's never done it. Maybe He did exactly what His will was to do. What's your faith level? And how much do you make out of the Word of God? My wife often says, you got to go to the well. The well is God's Word. Father, I look around. I don't see any visitors. I know everybody that's here. Most all of them I know have made a profession of faith in You. I don't think all have, but most have. We have to live by faith. We are to live by faith. We are not to live by sight. Your Word very clearly says the just shall live by faith at least 3 times. We are to live that way. This is a book of faith. It's about obeying, trusting, believing, and going forward and taking the inheritance that You had for this nation. And You have an inheritance for us. Your will is that we might have life and live it more abundantly. Increase our faith as we examine our hearts and try to get an idea of where we are. Show us and teach us and grow us. Give us the confidence we need to have that realize that Your commandments are Your enablements. And what You do for us, and what You call us to do, You will enable us, You will empower us, You will give us the grace to do it. There may be a little, skepticism, but faith believes despite the consequences. And I pray that this church and myself will grow in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as Christians are praying, I'm going to ask these guys to sing one last song. Go ahead, guys. I am waiting.
Big on good godly Christian music. They have some CDs and tapes back there. And we're going to read from Ezekiel 28, speaking about music in Sunday school this morning, where Satan was created with tabrets and pipes. Anyway, so get some CDs, take them with you. We'll start Sunday school about 5 minutes late in here because we got out a little bit late in here. But let's stand together and let's, and I need to get to the restroom, so don't interrupt me, all right? One of these days I'm going to go just like some of you do, right in the middle of the service. But I made it, so can you. We'll do it. Father, thank you for the Word of God. We really made that was the emphasis in that message. And I pray that the people of this church would always remember the Bible is our authority. I'm not the authority. The church is not the authority. We have a church constitution, but quite frankly, that's not the authority. The Word of God is the authority. May we make much of it. May we believe it. And I long, Lord, to know that people understand your voice as they study the Word of God and hear preaching, and as you prompt their heart, and that you might speak to them, that they would walk in obedience to all things that you have called them to do. Give us faith and increase it. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you're interested in helping with the New York State Faith Fair and you want to go